Thank you, Marcin. Okay. Announcements are in your bulletin. You know that yesterday we celebrated with Judy Pierce a birthday, so happy birthday from your church family tonight. And then also, we're having a special gift of music tonight with Marjean and with Kim Starr, so we thank them for this offering of music as well. Thanksgiving Eve, don't forget we've got free cards with stamped envelopes out there. If there's someone that you want to share the joy, the spirit of Thanksgiving with, please pick up a couple of those cards and do that. I've got a bunch that I'm going to be writing tomorrow. So I'm going to write to our neighbor, Gina and Larry, for example, out there by our church property. And I want them to know that I'm thankful that we get to be neighbors with them and they're neighbors of us. And also I'm going to be getting Sargent's address from the Bothans because I'm writing to them tomorrow to thank them also for being our neighbors. So there's all kinds of people that we can include in those greetings of Thanksgiving. And then if you wanna provide a pie store-bought for Thanksgiving Eve, you can do that. We'll have plenty too, but there's a sign-up sheet back there and you're welcome to say, yeah, I'd like to bring such and such kind of pie because it's one of my favorites. So please take note of that opportunity as well. Tonight, as a part of our All Saints service, we'll be naming the saints and then ringing the bell, reminding us that the saints, as Marjean played, gather at the river, right? That beautiful, beautiful river as we await that homecoming with all the saints in heaven. So we'll have a blessing also of the saints, but we'll also have a blessing for Denny and for Marjean as they head south. Denny's been like me in a battle with cancer, but God's been good to us and God's given us lots of time. And you can see he's looking great. You are, Denny. I told him that earlier. And I know how important that is to get the walking and the exercise in. And it's a little bit easier in Arizona than it is right here in Minnesota. I know that for a fact, okay? So we're going to be blessing you and praying that God will be really good to you guys this winter. Okay, newsletter for November, prayer calendar for November. Those are back there on the table as well. Other announcements, please take note of those as well. Let's rise as we are able for our brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Hymn number on your song insert, For All the Saints, O Lord.
Like them.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Christ you've drawn all your people into one holy communion. Grant that as we remember the saints who have gone before us, we are strengthened for lives of faithful service to you, so that the world will know your blessed presence. Bring us at last to the feast that has no end, where all will be one. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated then for our gift of music.
Sing till earth and heaven. brightly shine. The hills and the fountains, the rivers and mountains, the deeps of the ocean proclaim him divine. We too should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration. A song let us raise till all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest. Hosanna.
Our first lesson is from Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 149, and we'll read it responsively. Praise the Lord.
Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly.
Let Israel be glad in his Maker.
Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King.
Let them praise his name with dancing,
making melody to him with tambourine and lyre.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adorns the humble with salvation.
Let the godly exult in glory.
Let them sing for joy on their beds.
Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands.
To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples.
To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron.
To execute on them the judgment written.
This is honor for all his godly ones.
Praise the Lord.
Our second lesson is from 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. We'll sing together verses 1 and 2 of our hymn of the day. As heirs of God's baptismal grace, his word of promise and hope proclaim. So, are you ready for a sermon? I mean, if you are, you've come to a good place, because all of our scripture lessons for tonight are sermons, including gifts of music, the liturgy, the hymnody. What we do as God's people, as God's holy ones, is nothing less than a sermon. So are you ready for a sermon? Because our gospel reading for tonight is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which begins with the overture, the Beatitudes. Blessed are you. That's present tense, you know, not blessed while you used to be, or blessed someday, maybe we'll have to wait and see. Blessed are you. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Are you ready for a sermon? Well, St. John, he has a sermon, a homily. We call it 1 John, a letter perhaps, but it's proclamation. And he's preaching to the beloved. Those who have received the lavishing love of God, he preaches to the beloved. A sermon of grace and mercy. Beloved, you are God's children now. Are you ready for a sermon? What about Revelation? Last week, this week, next week, we get snippets of that last book of the Bible. That revelation of Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain and has begun his reign. Alleluia! And It's a sermon. In fact, most scholars would say, and I agree with them, that that whole book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 22, would have been read out loud publicly in a service of worship where they were celebrating the Lord's Supper. Keep that in mind. 22 chapters. Nothing short about that sermon. Are you ready for a sermon? We have a confession of faith that we make, a confession of faith that says that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 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 A sermon. I hope that you're ready for a sermon. And most importantly of all, I hope in light of our scripture readings for tonight that you are ready to be a sermon. It's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to see it. But it's much more to actually be it. You see, on this All Saints Feast, we're not talking about becoming. We're proclaiming being. You are the saints of God, the beloved ones. See what love the Father has, that he's lavished upon you, that you and I should be called children of God. And St. John says, that's precisely who we are. See? What love? Children of God. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know Jesus. But everyone who hopes in Jesus, they purify themselves as he is pure. You see? It's all about living and breathing holiness in daily life. What a gift it is to be a member of the communion of saints. It's not a matter of saying, well, there are five requirements that you have to fulfill, and when we can check it all off, then we can canonize you. As though somehow it's your doing that gets you holy. But our scripture lessons are very clear. It's not your doing that gets you holy. It's the fact that God has bestowed upon you and me his holiness. You are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I mean, what do you think the Holy Spirit is doing? He's making you holy. In fact, St. Paul will say, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, a temple is a worship place, a church, but it's portable. You see? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and everywhere you go, when we're at the grocery store getting groceries, when we're at the clinic with a medical checkup, when we're doing a CT scan, it doesn't matter where we're at or what we're doing, we are portable temples. So it's not enough to just simply say, oh man, I heard a good sermon. No, what the world wants is, I'm ready to be a sermon in your life. You know why? Because I have seen how much love the Father has. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nestling bird or star in heaven, such a refuge ne'er was given. You see, though he giveth or he taketh, God, his children, ne'er forsaketh. It's his loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. Did you catch that? That's his purpose. Not just to anoint us with the Holy Spirit and say, well, good luck with that now. Let's see if you can make something of yourself. But to give us the Holy Spirit so that we can, in fact, put into practice with our living, with our breathing, The holiness of God, everywhere we go, everything we say. I was reading this past week a story by Jonathan Meyer. And Jonathan Meyer says, when I was a kid growing up, there would be incidents that would happen in school. Some of you may remember some of your schoolyard days. I mean, sometimes kids can be a little vicious. You know, sometimes they start to tease, and then that teasing becomes kind of, well, like bullying and rabid. Well, he said, I remember a little girl named Elizabeth. Elizabeth was 7 years old. It didn't happen in the classroom, it happened on the playground, and they were kind of all teasing and stuff, and then all of a sudden, one kid looks at Elizabeth and says, you know you're adopted, don't you? And then another kid says, that's right, you're adopted, you know that, don't you? And then pretty soon everybody's saying, she is adopted, Elizabeth is adopted. Well, Jonathan said, I could just see what was about to happen. You know, breaking down in tears. She walks away a few steps, and then Elizabeth turns back around and she says, you know what? I really feel sorry for you. You see, when your mom and dad had you, they probably had to keep you. But my mom and dad, they chose me. They wanted me. You bet I'm adopted, and I'm proud of it too. You see, that's what Paul's getting at when he writes to the church in Galatia. When he says, you know you're an inheritor, don't you? And you know why you've inherited something? Because you're a son or a daughter of Abraham and Sarah. Heirs according to promise. Yeah, but how? I'm not an ethnic Jew. How do I become part of the new Israel of God? And Paul looks at the Galatians and he says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Don't you see? Clothed, buried, raised to new life, adopted, claimed, sanctified, justified. That's what God does every day for us as we live the promise of holy baptism. As we don't quench the Holy Spirit, but as we drink deep the grace and mercy of God that is breathed through the Holy Spirit. Children of the Heavenly Father, it does not yet appear what we shall be, St. John says, but we do know this. When Christ appears, we're going to be just like him. Oh, good news. So I might just as well waste my life, is what you're saying. I might just as well do nothing. Squat. What? No, St. John says. Don't you get it? You don't have to worry about the future. God's got the future secured for you. He's claimed you. He's adopted you. You're his. So everyone who hopes in Christ purifies themselves as he is pure, not to get something, but because you and I have been given so much. So much. We are blessed because we hunger and we thirst for righteousness. Revelation chapter 5. A lamb is seated on the throne, but he looks all wounded. The lamb who is slain has begun his reign. Alleluia! He comes from the tribe of Judah. Wait a minute. A lamb who's been slain on the throne from the tribe the lion tribe of Judah? Really? And then the sound is proclaimed. The sermon is uttered. Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Why? Well, because there's a scroll, and it's got seven seals. And unless someone is worthy to take the scroll and break its seals, then the plans, the purposes of God will not be fulfilled. That means we're doomed. That means that we're going to perish. We have no future. We have no hope. Nothing. Who is worthy? No one was found worthy except Jesus. The Lamb who was slain and has begun his reign. Alleluia. You see? And then the scroll and those seals, they're busted open. And if you've read Revelation 6, you know that it goes from bad to worse to even worse yet. Because God's wrath is being poured out. And somebody says, I don't want a God like that, that's a God of wrath. You go, no, you don't understand. The wrath is being poured out because it's redemptive wrath. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. Because God wants people to repent and be saved through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus. I mean, it's pretty bad. By the time you get the sixth seal opened, everybody's crying out, fall on us, stones. We'd just as soon be having it all over now. And then at the end of chapter 6, you hear these words. Who can stand? Who can stand? You know the answer, right? No one. Unless they're sealed. Unless they're sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And so it's gotten so bad at that point, at the end of chapter 6, six of those seals have been busted open, and there's one more left. The question is asked, and then we need an interlude. And if you've ever played sports or something, you probably know that, time out. We need a time out here. So what you have is chapter 7. Which is a salvation interlude. It's a doublet. In the first picture, you find out that the ones that don't have to worry are the ones who've been sealed. 144,000, 10 times 10 times 10, 12 times 12, 12 apostles, 12 tribes. And then you look at that, 12,000 from each of the tribes. But wait a minute, where's Dan? Where's Ephraim? But wait a minute, why is Levi mentioned and why is Joseph mentioned? Something's not right here. Don't they know their Bible? Yeah, they know their Bible. It's not ethnic Israel that's saved. It's the new Israel of God. Those who are inheritors through Abraham and Sarah. Those who have been adopted and claimed by Almighty God. The redeemed, the sanctified, the holy ones, the saints. You see? 144,000 is a complete and perfect number. Don't read it literally for crying out loud. Understand it theologically. Understand it biblically. In other words, those whom God has adopted, claimed, died for, are not going to get lost. You think God's going to lose one of his children that he's adopted, that he wants, that he claims? But some people kind of are shaking their head. They're going, I'm not sure I can wrap my head around this, Pastor Dave. And I go, not a problem. Let's try a second time. Let's go at it again. This great multitude that no one can number. Our epistle reading for tonight. This great multitude that no one can number. Do you know who they are? Well, they're clothed in white robes. Holy! But they've been made white because they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And in their hands, they're holding palm leaves. Palm Sunday, Holy Week. The palm fronds are symbols of victory. They're waving that victory. Those that know this persecution, those that know the suffering of being a follower of Jesus, of living a holy life in this world, and they are praising God. And they are saying, it's a sermon, salvation belongs to our God and to Christ, the Lamb, forever and ever. Everybody's worshiping. And then in this vision that St. John hears and sees, then you find out that the lamb from the tribe, the lion tribe of Judah, is the shepherd. Greater love has no one than this, that a person laid down their life for a friend. The Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. I have everything that I need. The shepherd will satisfy them. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for God's will to be done. They will be satisfied. Jesus is your satisfaction. And nothing, I guarantee you, will satisfy except Jesus. And if you're trying to fill that void with something else, it's not going to work. The Lamb from the Lion Tribe of Judah, your Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for the forgiveness of your sins, which makes you one of God's holy ones, which seals you with the Holy Spirit and marks you with the cross of Christ forever. That's the only thing that will satisfy. But be prepared. I don't know if you read my 431 today, but I was surprised. A 32-year-old just had her first child. She went to church a week ago, heard a sermon. Be careful, because the preacher said, don't be surprised if God speaks to you in a way that you don't expect. And when you have to ask yourself, what will I do with this sermon? And so, it's her 32nd birthday this week. And she said, it's usually pretty low-key. Maybe, you know, have a meal with a friend. Maybe breakfast with the kids or something, you know. I got up, took my shower, she said. And all of a sudden, loudly and clearly, as that living water was coming down, cascading upon me, I heard God say, give it all away. She's got like 1.2 million followers. She's 32 years old, just had a baby. She said, well, here's the thing. She said, I'm not going to give up my baby. She's giving it away. I know it sounds nuts, because she heard a sermon a week ago, and because in the shower where there was some living water pouring down, she heard the voice of God say, it's time to give it away. And she said, you know what? For 32 years, God's provided everything that I need. I don't know what this next chapter in my life is going to look like, but I know who's going to take care of it. I know who's writing the story, and I know that he's not going to stop halfway. Sermons are amazing, my friends. Let me tell you another story. A few years back, when refugees were being resettled in our country from Vietnam, there was a church, and they had a board of elders, and one of the elders' name is Jim. And so Jim was assigned a family and others as well, not because they had to, but because the church wanted to. And so Jim said, I had Sun Lee, his wife, and their kids. Now, Sun Lee didn't speak any English. He was in Vietnam an exquisite diamond cutter. But they came here with nothing. So he said, we got some food, and we got some clothing, we got a place for them to live, and we provided out of what God provided. And then he said, as I got to know Sun Lee, I thought, I want to get to know him better. So Sun Lee and I started taking classes together, language, where he was learning English and I was learning Vietnamese. And he said, I finally got to the point where I felt, you know what? I can tell him about Jesus. And he tried to tell Sun Lee about Jesus, but Sun Lee just got confused. And then Sun Lee kind of called the time out and said, just a minute. This God you want to tell me about, is he like you? Because if he's like you, I want to know him. Don't just hear a sermon. Don't just read a sermon. Be a sermon. That's what saints are. They're living, breathing sermons. Everyone who hopes in Christ purifies themselves as he is pure. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is in this community of saints, where we know that everything is a gift of God. Everything. And where we know that God speaks, and we know that God heals, and we know that God gets the credit for everything, because every good and perfect gift comes from our Lord. Everything comes from God. So what would it look like for you and me to be holy? I'm going to put a children's sermon on tomorrow on our Facebook page about halos. You know halos? And you'll see if you watch it, I've got a picture there of Jesus sharing his Last Supper with his disciples. And in the early Christian art, Jesus has a halo. And I started to count. 11 disciples have halos. And if you look closely, you'll notice that one doesn't. Because Judas betrayed his Lord. And instead of being a servant for the glory of God, he became a servant of Satan himself. So we have choices every single day about what sermons we're going to listen to and what sermons we're going to give to others as well. Because we're blessed, pure and simple. Blessed are you. Holy are you. The kingdom of heaven is yours. The kingdom of heaven is yours. You know you're adopted, right? So am I. And your Heavenly Father, he's put a mark on you. And he said, you don't belong to Grandma and Grandpa. You don't belong to Mom and Dad. You got a Heavenly Father. And he's got a future plan for you that is out of this world. But in the meantime, be a sermon. Let me close with one more story. I love this story. It's about Margaret. When Margaret was 7 years old, her grandmother gave her a cross, a little necklace, real dainty, with a cross on it. And her grandmother looked at her and said, "Do not forget what this cross means. Do not forget what this cross means." Well, Margaret, you know, she graduated from high school and she went to college, and then she was in graduate school, psychology, and she was doing an internship as a tutor at a school with kids that had behavioral problems. And Margaret said, "So the cross my grandma gave me," she said, "it became like a piece of clothing. I put it on every day, just like that single little freckle on my left cheek. It was just part of who I was." She was nervous on her first day there at this school, tutoring, where the kids would act out and they would kick and they would scream and there would be all kinds of problems. And so the headmaster said, We got three boys that want to take you to supper tonight here in the dining hall. And she thought, great. What's this going to lead to? And as they're going through the cafeteria line, kids are acting out and screaming, and there's some kicking, there's fighting and stuff going on. They go through the line, they get over at the table, and Margaret sits down, and there are the three boys, 8, 6, and 5. And she starts to eat her food. And the oldest one, David, 8 years old, he says, because they're all looking at her, the three boys, right? I mean, they're all looking at her. And she said, what's the matter? Well, aren't you going to say the blessing? She said, well, this is a state school. And then the six-year-old, Daniel, he says, but you got a cross on. Doesn't that mean anything? And Margaret said, I suddenly remembered the sermon my grandma gave me when I was 7 years old. Don't forget what this cross means. Don't forget. So she said, thanks for reminding me. Let's pray. And she said the blessing. When Jesus says the blessing, it's proclamation. It's performative. It's words that create a happening. Well, I don't know why you came tonight. Maybe you wanted to hear a sermon. But I do know this, that God is going to send you home to be a sermon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able. Our hymn of the day, verses 3, 4, and 5. We continue our service of worship with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Let us give thanks to God for all the saints of our lives and the witness they have shared with us, even as we continue to walk the journey of faith and make our way to the glory that God is preparing for all of us. Eternal God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, we praise you for the saints of all times and places who have walked the road of faith before us and beside us. for their witness to your love and their commitment to your justice, for their trust in your mercy regardless of the circumstance. We give you thanks and praise.
Lord, hear our prayers.
God of all creation, we praise you for all your servants who have witnessed to your truth, who have shown us your love, who have inspired us to have hope. By their example of faith, hope, and love, remind us of your calling to join in making your new creation real in this world and the next.
Lord, hear our prayers.
God of grace and peace, we praise you for women and men and children who reflect your love into our world. Guide us to continue their faithful work as we too walk in the light of your love.
Lord, hear our prayer. God of all saints, today we especially remember the saints from among this community, our families, our friends, those who have departed our company over the past year. We thank you for the faithful witness of those we name before you. Bertha Olsen, Steve Christensen, Jeremy Schneider, Mark Patterson, Julie Blanchard, Dan Birkeland, Myrtle Otis, Howard Otis, Laura Colden, Kelly Jo Stoyles, Brad Ackerman, Noelle Taylor, Ray Price, Jay Hyder, Myron Wendland, for their courage amid strife and their hope in the face of death. We remember so many other saints who have walked this road with us, whom we now name before you aloud or in our silence. Continue to inspire us by their faithful witness, that we too might join in bringing your justice, mercy, and peace to our world.
Lord, hear our prayers.
God of all healing, tonight we name before you all who seek your mercy, your healing presence and power, all who keep company with you in their travels. And so tonight, Lord, we pray for Marjean and we pray for Denny. We ask, Lord, that you would be gracious and merciful to them on their travels and during their time down in Arizona, that you would continue, Lord, in your mercy to heal Denny of his cancer and keep it away, that he might know the joy of living in your presence in this life and the gift of eternal life. May they know your protection, rejoice in your mercy, and give thanks always for the gift of salvation. Bless also those we name before you now, Lord. We pray for Logan Ackerman, for Judy Zimmerman, for Karen Otis, for Ariana Pananen, for Deb Spitzer, Barb Stephenson, Melody Graves, Elaine Jacobson, Karen Peterson, Eric Miller, Paige Johnson, Stephen Johnson, Sheldon Bieri, Mr. Gussie's great-granddaughter in her battle with cancer, Sis Brighton, Denny Kukowski, Eric Meisner, May they be strengthened in body, mind, heart, and faith to praise your saving deeds and rejoice in your great goodness.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Eternal God, as we walk this pilgrim way, make our faith firm, our hope clear, and our love pure, that we might join the saints of all the ages in praise eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. I give you thanks for the support that you offer to Emmanuel and to the Kingdom of God. There's an offering basket in the back. Other people have other ways that they support the holy work of Christ and live out their holiness as an adopted child of God in this world. So thank you. Let's pray together the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction, the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our sending song for all the saints. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.